Wendy has to put a shipment in this one.
Anything in there for that? Ms. Nelson?
Chairperson, while you're settling in, maybe, could I take this opportunity to express my thanks to the committee for your support during my recent problems. I'd like to say thank you very much. My family is very appreciative, and thank you for the gift, and thank you for your messages of condolence and your care. Really do appreciate it. Thanks a lot. And I think I'm back now normally.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Honourable Smith. Let me just first greet everybody, all members. I think after a week, everyone is back again to a nice, not so cold Cape Town. Let me welcome everyone. Let me welcome the minister as well to this portfolio meeting. And then officially from this committee, Honourable Smith, our condolences to your family at this time. I think it's also just before we start this meeting necessary to inform members that Honourable Bonham has also taken ill. He left us on Wednesday in Pretoria when we carried on down to Gallagher Estate and had two heart attacks on Thursday. So he's laid up. I did speak to the family. I spoke to him at some stage. We wish him well from the committee side then as well. If we get to our agenda, we've got one item on the agenda this morning, and that is a briefing by the minister on the anti-corruption strategy. So without much other ado, Honourable Minister, we'll give over to you, bearing in time that by 10:30 we should have wrapped up our meeting completely so that we could adjourn. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and morning to a committee. And I would like to add my voice to Mr. Smith in terms of condolences. We are here to deal with this item, briefing the Portfolio Committee on the anti-corruption strategy. And I would like to take advantage of this opportunity to also brief the or share an angle in terms of progress in terms of strengthening of the anti-corruption inspectorate since our last engagement on this matter. The turnaround strategy says that we need to find ourselves doing things differently, even in the fight against corruption, because it is when we do that we are going to find ourselves having restored the confidence that the people have in the government. One of the areas which is the much talked about and easy to mention is the area of corruption. We are then saying, maybe starting from the point of view of saying, as you know, that the anti-corruption inspectorate was put in place, and this anti-corruption inspectorate, when we met in the recent past, since some of us took office, we indicated that it's an initiative that is a little bit problematic, the inspectorate. You know, it was so modeled as if when you deal with the inspectorate, you are talking about an entity that can even do forensic audit. I remember my first 2-3 appearance before the portfolio committee, before we had the strategic session, we were faced with this serious challenge. And I remember when we were at the strategic planning session, presenting the state of the anti-corruption inspectorate, I had to resort to the biblical expression of Balaam. When I spoke about Balaam and his donkey and the angel in front of the donkey wielding a fire-blazing spear, and unfortunately that was to be concealed to Balaam that he doesn't see what is in front of the donkey, so that he kept flogging the donkey thinking that it will end up moving until it talked to him and say, "Am I not your donkey of every day that you use me as your means of transport? When did I ever do this to you? Can't you think that there's anything that may be stopping me?" And at that moment, we are told God revealed himself to Balaam and he saw what was in front of the donkey. I use that analogy because as a standalone entity, the anti-corruption inspectorate is bound to fail. And what we have done ever since is to then say we introduce the fight against corruption in terms of cooperative governance. So we don't like sort of look at ourselves as the facilitator of intergovernmental relations, look at ourselves having to create our own unit that is going to be like a sort of competing with the other units that are there. But you want to use this unit and you need to empower it to be able to coordinate the successful implementation of the units and the strategies that you have in place. That is where we are at the moment. And we are then seeing that in the public service, there are quite a number of initiatives. There are two strategies developed, actually three strategies developed. They talk to each other, but there's a need for us to tighten this talking to each other. One is the local government anti-corruption strategy. And two is the public service anti-corruption strategy. And also linked to that is the ethics and integrity framework. Because we then see corruption does not start being corruption. You know, where it starts, it's like an unethical conduct. And then people get used to this unethical conduct and go to the extreme. That's why when we have to fight corruption, we have to start right from the ethical side. The point of view, what are those things that you have to do? What is declarable by public officials? Are they declaring those things? What is the vetting mechanism? Are we having our people being well vetted? How do we deal with issues related to the breach of the act or the breach of laws right in the beginning? So those are the things that we need to do. In that context, we are then seeing at the public service level, we created a structure called Public Service Anti-Corruption Unit. And this unit, of course, under the leadership of the Department of Public Service and Administration, and it does the work focusing on four objectives. Effective and integrated management of investigation of corruption cases in the public service. We'll understand that this is based on the understanding that the Public Service and Administration Department is at the center of making sure that there is good governance, specifically focusing on the provincial and national sphere. So we then see ourselves as we work as partners with this unit. We then have a responsibility to do the same to all the municipalities, acting to be at the center, making sure that across the municipalities there's effective and integrated management of investigation of corruption cases in the public service, and that effective and integrated disciplinary proceedings in the public service, and effective and integrated legal and advisory support. That is what we need to do. Number four, that is the issue of strategic information management on that point where we talk about strategic information management, we just don't want to talk about the famous whistleblowing concept. But that is exactly what we are talking about there, strategic information management. We have, as we rebuild the inspectorate, we are creating a strong focus on these issues so that we see as to how best we succeed in dealing with those cases. And we are seeing the cooperative governance at the ministry level is the coordinating instrument for the presidential coordinating committee. Every quarter, the president meets with the premiers and some ministers who are said to be at the center of government. That is cooperative governance, finance, PME, that's performance monitoring and evaluation, economic development, and the like. At that meeting, once per quarter, we are presenting a profile of the country across the three spheres. SALGA also attend. So what we are seeing in terms of now the new approach we are taking is that every quarter, the inspectorate will be guiding the minister to present a report on the state of the country in as far as the fight against corruption. We will then be looking at these four. DPSA will be indicating in terms of how the situation is at provincial and national. And then we're going to add on to them how the situation is throughout the municipalities. So that is what we're going to do. The second, which is the multi-agency working group, the numbering there, it was done on a Sunday. It's A and then A again. The second A should be a B. The multiple agency working group. This is a corruption fighting instrument that is headed by the Minister of Finance. It deals with supply chain related irregularities. That is in the procurement to check as to whether we are dealing with those issues where supply chain regulations are complied with, whether there are delegation matrix, whether people, and when they follow the procurement, that procurement is followed properly. We will, through this inspectorate, make it a point that we have a database of procurement. You know, with the use of information technology, it is possible to get, because we, even in 1998, when we passed an act in Parliament, and the act that was meant to establish CETA, which we ended up establishing it in 1999. We were then saying, amongst other things, we want to achieve a situation where through information technology, government will be in a position to talk to itself. We're talking about a connected government with itself. And we're talking about a connected government with the people. So as we sharpen this inspectorate, we'll then say, as part of cooperative governance, to make sure that the necessary connectivity is provided, so that if there is a procurement, if there's a procurement that is done in a particular area, we insist that this procurement practices must be loaded on the system, so that if it's loaded, you can centrally, at the click of a button, be in a position to pick up, so that we are not waiting for situations where they say, hey, there's a smell of corruption, waiting for a situation where there will be third parties who will raise an issue, but we should on our own be in a position. And this instrument, the anti-corruption inspectorate, will assist us to deal with those issues. Just at a click, you just insert the, you say, okay, this tender that has been issued today in the municipality somewhere around the Sikisik, or has been issued to so and so. Okay, but so and so, to who else is he or she connected? your information from Cipro. What's the new name of Cipro, by the way? Just changed its name. Company and Intellectual Property Rights Organization. It is a new name. Okay. Whatever that name is. That is going to tell you if that person has business interest in other organizations. Home Affairs information will tell you whether this person, through just an ID, to tell you what this person is. So you can get the profile of them. Oh, it has been allocated to this person. Or this person is a partner with so and so in this company in KZN. Or it's also in partnership with this person in a company that is operating. So you can actually trace in advance and then prevail and say, but tell us about this issue. Even when it comes to appointment, if the local government and corruption strategy and the integrity and ethics framework will say that we insist on certain levels of officials to be vetted, once you are appointed and the information is loaded, we get to know that so and so, at the click of a button, you'll be in a position to check if it is this issue of recycling wrongdoers. This person is found to be corrupt in this area, and this person is now being appointed in another area. Then it shows then you have got reasons to act. That is what instills confidence. You see, you can be how responsive to the cries of the community, but that is not enough. What is enough to strengthen yourself is to be proactive. Pick up some of the issues and raise them, and then say, this is what we are doing. So we are going to work closely with the multi-agency working group, which is coordinated by Treasury. Now, we have the National Anti-Corruption Forum. We know that the National Anti-Corruption Forum has been established in the country after the first summit on anti-corruption, and this forum brings together government, business, and civil society. Labor is on board, and academic institutions also wanted to be on board. Now we are talking about that anti-corruption forum. You don't want a unit, because it is this forum that decided to develop a strategy, an anti-corruption strategy in the public service of South Africa. That strategy is there. And we then say we need to work closely with them, because sometimes people, when you talk of COCTA, there are those who will narrowly look at COCTA as having a responsibility only over municipalities, as if nothing at national and provincial. This is intergovernmental relations. And intergovernmental relations will then say the three spheres as to how they actually operate. Because it will be some of these departments, national departments, that are operating, because there is no piece of land called national. Any piece of land where they are working is at a local area. At some stage, you find that most of what is seen as corruption taking place at the local level, ending up getting municipalities to answer for that, is not the competence of municipalities. It's national. So we are also looking at that point to then say we need to deal with. And of course, there is no corruptee without a corrupter. Actually, corruption is a marriage of three parties becoming married. And it is the environment, it is the corrupter and the corruptee. So when we deal with these issues, we then say, if you can clear the environment of acts of corruption, because in our strategy, we're not looking at being responsive, being reactive only, but you are looking at being proactive. Firstly, if it is possible, deal with the environment so that the environment does not produce a corruptor, and that the environment does not produce corruptees. These are the situations that we then say we need to look at. The fourth point, which is must see, but it should be read as D, is the IMC, the Interministerial Committee on the Fight Against Corruption. We know that the president, President Zuma, indicated that we need to do our work faster and smarter. And in doing our work faster and smarter and doing things differently, we should get ourselves in a situation where we no longer operate in isolation with one another. He then pulled together a team of ministers. Included in the team of ministers is the Minister of Public Service and Administration, Minister of Culture, Minister of Finance, Minister of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, Minister of Justice, Minister of Police, working together as an IMC, which is an inter-ministerial committee. That is actually modeled in terms of what today, for instance, when we talk about the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission, to say, let us stop working in isolation. Let's work together to fast-track the implementation. At a political level, that is the president has done. But a missing link is at the technical level. What arrangement at the support level do you get? So what we are positioning ourselves to do is, as in the same way as COCTA is at the center when it comes to the Presidential Coordinating Committee, which brings ministers and premiers as well. Because the only difference in this case is that premiers are not on board. But in as far as the other ministries, they are on board. We need, in the spirit of cooperative governance, to get this inspectorate to be so organized that it gets into coordinating these issues. So that is why we then say, we don't have to create our own that looks like and model it as if it's a standalone. Let's create our own, but that must understand that it must occupy the center stage and deal with the work in terms of what cooperative governance means in terms of Chapter 3 of our Constitution. Now, that is a situation that we then say we need to deal with. The Special Investigation Unit, the SIO, honorable members, we have established actually two things that we are doing with the SIO. One, we are building a relationship because we are state entities. We are building a relationship so that our fight against a corruption is going to be focused, is going to be organized, is going to be less dramatic. At the moment, you see the act that creates the SIU will indicate that as they deal with their issues, there is a tribunal that has to preside over dealing with some of these things. And the reality is that in the majority of cases, that is not happening as we speak. They confirmed when we met them, we raised this issue. When it comes to the question of getting a proclamation that empowers them to operate, you find a situation where more often the SIU will operate as a player, but also operate as the initiator. You go and investigate a case that you have initiated yourself, that you have even set terms of it becomes a challenge. Of course, they had to do that in a situation where there is a vacuum. Because if they did not do that, you will find that the situation will be left unchallenged, and you know you will have a never-ending allegations. Because some of these allegations, if they are not given attention in time, you end up denying justice to the people who are suspected to have done this wrongdoing, because you are not providing space for them to advance their own cause through evidence, where you either will then say yes, it's fine, you are found to be guilty, or you are cleared. So in the absence of that, they had to occupy a vacuum. And we are saying, who created that vacuum? Before we pointing far, the fingers came to us that if you were to rise to this level, you will then be in a position to address. Because the other thing that you talk about is that then the issue is who is the initiator? there are quite a number of reports, some of which even honorable members will ask me, hey, Minister, what have you done with the report of the SIU investigation in this particular area? And you go to the SIU, how far are you? No, we have issued a preliminary report. And we have issued a preliminary report. We are still investigating. The danger of pronouncing on a preliminary report, because a preliminary report tells you that there is still investigation that's going to be done. When that preliminary report is written, what informs the why do we get preliminary reports to be public, to be for public consumption? Because if you then the preliminary report says, honorable member, so and so is answerable, or councillor so and so is answerable, and you release that, you do further investigation, and the further investigation comes, and you get facts that suggest that no. The final report has not yet been issued. We want this environment to be regulated, because otherwise we'll become alarmist ourselves in dealing with this work. So through this inspectorate, we are great. Through this inspectorate, we are going to be very much involved. You find that the initiator, or who was said to be the initiator of the investigation, is not on board, does not even know. You first hear out there in public that the interim report is out and it has not been sent to you. That is what is happening at the moment. We need to actually address this. It's not to muzzle, it's not to manage information, but it's to make sure that when we do our things, we do our things very responsibly. So that at the end of the day, we must be educative even to the people that we are pointing a finger. So we are great, we are going to work very closely, and this unit is going to assist us in dealing with this question. The Presidential Anti-Corruption Hotline, on all those cases that have to do with municipalities, this unit, we will have to, unlike in the past when we got the report and we could not be defending how we got this report, because we sort of owned the work that was done, as if we conducted an investigation, and when you check with us, you find that no, there has been no investigation on anything that has to do with a municipalities reported through the presidential hotline. We are going to further engage on that, get more facts, provide quarterly reports. We'll have to have this quarterly report given to them, the presidential hotline, on this day, a person reported. How far was that? Through working together with both the unit at the DPSA and the unit at the PME in the presidency, would be in a position, and also with our municipalities, would be in a position to give an up-to-date state of affairs in terms of what is going on. Now, the policy and legislative mandate that cements the fight against corruption, and of course, embodied in the strategy, are those ones. We can't say we are mentioning all of them, but just to say these are some of them. The Protected Disclosures Act, as you remember, that is the act that protects whistleblowers. And the Anti-Corruption Act, the Anti-Corruption Strategy. This Anti-Corruption Strategy is a strategy that has been developed by the National Anti-Corruption Forum. The Public Sector Ethics and Integrity Framework. This framework is detailed, is attached as Annex 8. We have not, as a portfolio committee, engaged on this strategy. It is the portfolio committee on public service that has to do. But when you look at it, it's actually called public sector, not public service. Public sector integrity management framework. You see, a public sector goes beyond public service. Because public service in terms of Chapter 10 of the Constitution will be confined to provincial and national. You extend it to sector, then you include the local government. But you also include public entities. You also include other state-owned entities. So this question of ethics and integrity it actually governs there. For instance, we are looking at collapsing the code of conduct for public servants and the code of conduct for municipal workers, that they must talk to each other because it's one government. And we are looking at a situation where we come out with what we refer to as a public sector charter on ethics and integrity. Now, the public sector charter on ethics and integrity will go a long way raising questions that we then say, what are we dealing and how are we dealing with that? For instance, in the in as far as acceptance of gifts, what are we saying? In this framework, it has been proposed as to how we deal with these issues for both politicians and officials dealing with gifts. Can you accept a gift that comes to you as you are discharging your services? Should you accept that? We know that in Parliament here, we have a code of conduct. You declare there is in as far as us as ministers, before you accept a gift, you have to get the president to say yes, you can take that that gift. It's given. But what are we saying about our people? Because you see, that's why we're saying corruption starts as an ethical conduct. You receive a gift. This person gives you a gift voluntarily and say no, just take this. But next time, you don't say it. That's why they bring the word solicit in there. You just look at the face of this person. It's very clear. You are not saying anything, but it's clear that no, this one is waiting for me to say something. This is actually addressed there. Restrictions on post-public employment, which in other concepts is called cooling off. We're bringing this question at the center. How do we deal with this thing to avoid the javelin throwing game? Some people have realized that the javelin goes too far. Now they go short put throwing. Doesn't go far. A javelin can go across the street from here from this mass building. It can go to Old Wing. It can even go to the Kudo building, depending on how tall you are. I'm told it depends on the size of your body as well. But the short put, you may be a weightlifter. You can't throw a short put far. Very close. Throw opportunities, jump and join those opportunities. How are we then dealing with those things? So strengthening investigations and enforcing capacity, what is very important in terms of this framework and which is talking to us, which the inspectorate will see that when it comes to us as COGTA and municipalities has to happen, is the establishment or the designation of officers who have to deal with this whole question, ethics officers. So that we find coordination in as far as dealing with this issue. So the ethics and integrity framework becomes an instrument prescribing the mandate that we'll have to follow as we deal with questions related to fighting corruption. The local government and corruption strategy is there. It is attached. Of course, it talks to all the issues, the code of conduct, the vetting requirements, all these things. Let's look at that. But if you only look at that in an isolated fashion, you apply it, you don't get propose a linkage, connection between this strategy and the public service one, you will not deal with questions of transgression in cases of mobility, where people move from one area to another. And that is where we need to deal with. Of course, this the inspectorate will also find space in terms of the five priorities that we set ourselves. Because you know that we said the one priority is the fight against corruption. We'd like to see the inspectorate operating actively to deal with this issue. So if you ask strategy, we are then saying, not in the narrow sense of the word, but in the broader sense of the word, based on what this portfolio is all about, promoting intergovernmental relations. We will have to promote intergovernmental relations even as we fight corruption by making sure that these instruments are coordinated. As I conclude, Chair, you know, we didn't have to wait until the time it is said to us by people outside. Our peers in the continent in Africa, when we presented our report on the African peer review mechanism, our report to the heads of state of the African Union that they have acceded to this instrument, we mentioned, because they requested us to write a story about ourselves and our fight against corruption, because I said corruption is endemic in our country. And we responded, we wrote a story, we said we have created instruments. They said, no, it's fine. So many instruments created, but how do you coordinate this instrument? It's like when you have created an instrument, you want to suggest you have delivered in the fight against corruption. There is a need that you address this thing. So the inspectorate taking the center in terms of dealing with issues in the spirit of cooperative governance becomes the vehicle that we then have to use to deal with this thing. That then concludes my input, acting chair, as we welcome the chair. Of course, that will be done by you leading all of us here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Minister, and welcome, Chairperson, back to the meeting. You're welcome to take your seat and ask questions. Not okay. I think the Minister has given us an overview of where the strategy is, what is being put in place. We've got about 45 minutes. Let's give over to members just to ask questions around the input that has been made. I'm going to start down by Honourable Steenhuisen, and then I'm going to move down the table on this side, on the left. So we'll move down, and as members have questions, we can then just move from one to the other. Honourable Steenhuisen.
Thank you very much, Honourable Acting Chair. Just some questions of clarity. I mean, at the outset, I must say, I think it's the report's a bit of a cop-out on the fight against corruption, and a few of my questions are answered that will allay some of the fears. I have a concern, Chair, that what we're going to now create is this strange coordinating beast that's now going to be responsible for coordinating the activities of other agencies and other departments and other committees, etc. And the concern is that, you know, is this not going to be straddling too many agencies, and we're going to create this beast that's going to try and do all things to all people? How are we going to measure the accountability and the results of this particular body, this inspectorate that's being created? What guarantees of cooperation do we have amongst these other agencies, etc.? Will this body be accountable to which minister? Will the body be accountable to this committee at all? Also then, you know, the minister has described in the report on page 2 as a work in progress. Can he perhaps give us some indication about when, you know, we're going to see this thing up and running and actually doing some work? We've heard, you know, minister after minister stand up in the House and tell us how they've prioritised the fight against corruption. And, you know, I'm frankly quite amazed that we're sitting, after all these undertakings, a year down the line, and we're still sitting with the work in progress. And given the scourge of corruption, and you know, the fact that it's become so endemic at our local government and in our provincial governments, that, you know, I would have thought there'd been a lot more detailed focus on that. You know, obviously the strength and, you know, capacity of these organisations are very, very important. I mean, if you have this organisation doesn't have inspectors that can actually go out and do the investigation on the ground, bring it back in a form that we're able to prosecute and remove people, you know, I think we're just shuffling the deck chairs from one agency to the next. And at the end of the day, we could end up with this body that turns around and says, well, you know, sorry, I couldn't do my job, but, you know, this PCC didn't cooperate. Here, this agency wouldn't, you know, give manpower to X. This person wouldn't give us resources for Y. And we then end up sitting here with a big, you know, behemoth that just points fingers at, you know, at the various agencies. I still maintain chairperson, that we're only going to start seeing a culture shift when we actually start putting municipal officials and provincial officials who have been found to violate the PFMA in jail. And that's going to serve as the biggest deterrent. When we start seeing a successful prosecution of municipal and provincial officials who've done wrong, that the public can then see there's a causal link between the wrongdoing, the detection, and the consequence. Now, at the moment, we provinces are and municipalities are often good at identifying the problem and the person, but where we're falling down horribly is in the prosecution. And far too often, we've seen municipal officials just shunted from one municipality to the next, where they leave in their wake this trail of destruction and maladministration, and they just seem to do it with impunity. And when subordinates and others in the organisation look up and see senior officials getting away with tender fraud and with corrupt activities, they turn around and say, well, maybe it's my turn to eat at the trough now. And if person X can get away with it, why should I actually, have ethics and morals and not, not join in the melee? And so, I'm very happy to support the minister, but, I just get the sense, when one looks at this document here about the last initiatives, that we're on this zigzag exercise from one agency to the next, and I don't think we've yet bedded down a real agency that's going to fight corruption and maladministration in local and provincial government. And I would have rather seen a dedicated, focused, single agency that's accountable to the minister, that sets itself targets, that has measurable results, and which we can then hold accountable. And we, it would have been up to us then to staff and equip it to be able to do that job properly. I must say, the best will in the world, I'm not hopeful that this is actually going to be the medicine that's needed to stop the scourge.
Thanks. Also like to thank the minister's input, but I think I share the same sentiments Chair, with my colleague here. We've been really talking about this issue of anti-corruption strategy for a while now, and in the interim, if I recall our own findings in Buffalo City Municipality, where we have had in the past about 114 million which has been not accounted for. If you look at the AG's report today on the same municipality, we're sitting at 2 billion. And we are still deliberating and talking about an anti-corruption strategy that ought to be implemented, and yet out there a lot is going wrong. How much longer are we going to go on discussing strategies and not implementing? And again, Chair, I'd like to also understand from the Minister, what do we really mean when we talk about winning the fight against corruption? Because often it's regarded as if the fight against corruption is just about firing the wrongdoers and keeping them out of work. But we never really prosecute and really sentence those individuals. And we never really retrieve the money that has been said to have gone astray. So what are we really putting up an anti-corruption team for if we are not really talking to the issues that matter? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Jefferson. Well, maybe I should start by at least thanking the Minister for his candor in acknowledging that the previous presentations were pretty much a waste of time in respect to the fact that the Department was giving a false impression of its capability to engage in something which it wasn't doing. So at least we got that off our chest. Then what we're doing now is evaluating what the Parliament has reconsidered after our strategic session, the way forward. And I must say, I share concerns with my colleagues about this whole exercise. I mean, in fact, if I read the presentation, I find it very confusing, because it's not very clear exactly what the inspectorate is going to do. there's a sentence which says, and I acknowledge where you're coming from, given the acknowledgement that the past didn't work, but basically, at the top of page 2, you say that you seek a mechanism to participate cooperatively in the rollout of existing instruments. Right. Now, so basically, to me that's a key sentence, because I think what this document is all about, in fact, is not that. It should be that, maybe, but it's not. What this document is all about is how you intend to coordinate things that others are doing. And I think it's a waste of time. And it's also not very clear what it means. I mean, for example, at the beginning of the section talking about the inspectorate, you say you're going to operate as a strategic instrument to promote cooperative governance through harmonizing the operationalization of the following instruments. And then you list them all. There's the Public Service Anti-Corruption Unit. And what are you going to do there? You're going to ensure that the province and other departments nationally adhere to that. Then you've got the multi-agency working group. Good. Under the Department of Finance. What are you going to do in respect of that? Well, you're going to just give it support. Oh, that's okay. You're not coordinating it. You're giving it support. Then you've got the National Anti-Corruption Forum, which falls under the PSC as the secretary. What are you going to do there? You're going to work closely with it. Then you've got the Interministerial Committee, where I find it quite confusing. Although your department, this department, COGTA, has a key role in the PIC, but in this issue here, it's the Department of Monitoring and Monitoring and Evaluation, basically, which coordinates this whole thing. So all that your department's going to do is participate actively in it. Okay. Then you've got the SIU, where you're going to look for a defined partnership to deal with issues of proclamations. I thought that the presidency did these proclamations. And then you've got the anti-corruption hotline, where you, it seems, will take over the issues that are raised by municipalities. Now, what I was actually scared about, well, what I find about what this document says to me, anyway, it says, you see, to me, Joe, it's a very simple approach. You either say, we're going to be helping others do their job, or we'll do it ourselves, so we will have a vigorous anti-corruption unit which goes up there and does things, or we'll be a coordinating agency. And I think this document tries to be a mix of everything. Instead of just saying, look, we've got no role other, let's just go and support everybody else. There's enough agencies in the books already. There's a dozen or more there already. We don't need one of our own. We'll go and support them, ensure that municipalities are brought into the systems, that our the provincial departments actively pursue things. That I'd understand. It's kind of saying, look, we don't want too much of a proliferation. But this hodgepodge kind of, we'll do something here, we'll do something there, we'll coordinate here, I find it too wishy-washy for me. So, I'm not exactly thrilled. But I'm glad it's work in progress, because it means, obviously, there's room for improvement. I must say, Chair, just as a separate issue, I mean, everybody talks about how serious government is about corruption. And maybe it is serious, but you will recall last year, where there were several thousand public servants who were found guilty of fraud and corruption and theft. And government's response was to convert those charges of theft into loans which they can repay. Now, if that's what we do about corruption among public servants, then, you know, I don't know how serious we are about the prosecution that everybody else is talking about. But maybe just a couple of smaller ones, too. Chair, on the supply side, the supply chain management problems we've had, which, because although we talk about finance being the lead actor there, which is fine, the legislation governing this, you know, has also come through COGTA in terms of our Systems Act and all this kind of stuff. You know, when we started this new system of local government, of course, councillors could serve on tender boards, tender committees. Then, because they were so corrupt, they got kicked out and it had to be officials only. But the problem hasn't changed at all. It's just as bad with officials as it was with politicians. So I'm just wondering whether the department has any view on how supply side issues are dealt with at a municipal level, other than strengthening corruption. I mean, the actual system of issuing tenders, the system of deciding,
whether the department's given any thought to what might need to be changed there, if anything. I really don't know. And then lastly, these ethics officers, ethics officials, sorry, what are they called now? Ethics officers, you're going to ensure that they're designated as all COPTA officers, as well as municipalities. When it says all COPTA officers, I presume that means there'll be one at the national level and one for each province, and then all municipalities. Does that mean a legislative amendment, or are you going to have to say, or is it a regulation, or how will that be done? Thanks.
Yeah, Peter.
Sorry,
what was
the thing?
But I just put
my name.
Yeah. Always
biblical names. Okay. And next down the line, nothing.
Thanks, Acting Chair. No, I don't have any questions. Just that I just want to stress. I know that you have rendered my apology. I was just held up from another meeting, which was preparing for 11 o'clock plenary. So my apologies. Hoping, Minister, hoping that maybe the deliberations as of listeners will come up fruitful, as we are looking forward to do that. And also, members, I would like to thank your commitment and cooperation on our last week's oversight. Welcome back, Peter.
Thank you.
I hope that now we are fine. I hope that the whippers announced that you were supposed to be with you last week in Joburg for SSC commissions. Hearings, and then you've lost your mother. Our condolences. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think a lot of the concerns have been raised, Honourable Minister. One of the things that I'm not too clear on is these ethics officers. In terms of ethics offices at municipalities, or is it going to be located only at, what I read is that it would go down to municipal level. So where are appointments made? If it's made at a municipal level and accountable to the municipal manager, That poses a bit of a problem to me, because how do you oversee, you know, the level that has appointed you? So I have a bit of a concern there, if we can just have clarity on that. And then in terms of all of these things that have been listed, what the unit is going to be doing, is this in place already? Is there a time frame set up? And lastly, what has happened to the investigations or the cases that have already been referred? Because there have been quite a few cases that have been referred to the department. Are all of these lying in limbo, or does it go, what happens from here onwards, or since this new approach has been taken? Thanks, Minister. We'll give over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to assure honourable members through responding firstly to the issues raised by Mrs. Ian Hazen. Firstly, let me acknowledge holistically that I know it is it is. I don't want to say it's humane, but let me say it's a common development that in situations where we sound like talking about doing things differently, we tend to have doubts. I think it's fine. It's so that it guides us even as we engage in these issues going forward. But let me raise an issue about this initiative being referred to as a strange coordinating beast. strange coordinating beast. I want to invite Honorable Steenhuisen to read Chapter 3 of the Constitution to understand the responsibility that cooperative governance has in promoting intergovernmental relations. Actually, to also talk about the powers of this portfolio committee as having to deal with those things. There is nothing in that can be said to be strange in us coordinating the three spheres. Nothing. If we want to talk about anything strange there, we really have to revisit how we understand the Constitution. This is the work that we are supposed to do. This is what we ought to have been doing. Actually, we can find some of the things in the expressions that the former minister used to say. And we then see all what we needed to do is to move from that to effective implementation. You know, he used to, in some figures, you will see that, the late minister, talking about the responsibility in this portfolio, will talk about how central cooperative governance is. He will sometimes use expressions that some will wonder, what is this thing coming from? I remember sometimes saying, when we were meeting, you see, we must operate like it. We are so central as if I'm the prime minister. I'm sure you used to hear him say these things. Read the responsibility that is within us and take that responsibility to soil your hands. Internalize that obligation. All what we're doing is that we're occupying that space. There's nothing strange about it. Now, it is in working together with this instrument that will achieve exactly what we are supposed to do. Cooperative governance, we are seeing, we will promote service delivery if we deal with these things, because all these things happen at the local area. I'm saying added in us is to fight against corruption, and we have a responsibility as this portfolio. We will work together with these units that are created, because they all have specific mandates. But we'll also localize. We'll also localize because there are areas where these units that we have talked about, where these units are not like so directly involved, which is like in the area of municipalities. So we will localize, we'll use the instruments and work with them, because we also have a responsibility at that level, but we'll localize to strengthen our intervention in dealing with this. Where is this inspectorate going to be accountable? It is accountable to this portfolio committee. We are not creating a new thing. This inspectorate was there. We are sharpening it because we have identified weaknesses. I reminded colleagues that what I said, that before we become the biblical balance ourselves, to keep on flogging the donkey, we need to make sure that we change its operation. And this is exactly what we're doing. To make sure that we strengthen that unit and provide, and as we strengthen it, we will not go and create a new structure. We say we are strengthening it when it comes to supply chain. We are taking a cue from what is existing in terms of MOC, the multiple agency, a working group. And put that so that instead of investing our time and energy in coming with strategies and strategies, we have to make what we have to work. That is exactly what we are doing here. We want to get it to work. And you can't get things to work if you approach things very apologetically. Hey, it's not my turf. It's not in my territory. The Constitution gives us that territory, that responsibility. We get into that test. We need to deal with these issues, and it is accountable to you. That is what we need to do. When we say work in progress, we are not suggesting that we are moving from a position of being static. We only are putting, we are then saying in terms of what we promised this portfolio committee as a strategic planning session, it's work in progress because we said we want to give more energy to this donkey that we spoke about. And we're then seeing it's progress that we're making. One of the progress that we're recording is working with the SIU. Now, in working with the SIU have investigative powers. The SAPs have the police, they have investigative powers. Other instruments, we did not mention them earlier, they have investigative powers. But what then happens is that you find that a person has been found guilty, say, maybe through the investigation, the work of other entities, found guilty. But what then happens when it comes back to the side of government as here's a person who has been found guilty. That's what the SIU will be saying. Look, we investigate cases and we find that these cases, these people have been found guilty. But then when it comes to the administrative part of dealing with these people, you still have these people in the employ of the state. There is like no consequence about that. What are you then doing? So these are the things that we then say we want to deal with, working in partnership with these entities. The capacity to investigate is located in the partnership that's there. It's just that I'll talk to this point when I come to that. The capacity to investigate is located in the relationship we want to keep. We are building this relationship even with entities that have the responsibility to do forensic audit because we can't do forensic audits ourselves. And that is what will assist us in dealing with this thing. Of course, it is correct to say that we will see ourselves have arrived at a situation where we're seriously fighting about fighting corruption, when you see people in jail, when you see people dismissed and stuff like that. Now, the question is that in a situation where a committee at the center, like cooperative governance, will not be providing report in terms of the convictions that are taking place day to day based in the other instruments, you will exist and thinking that nothing is happening. But if we agree that, as we say, on a quarterly basis we'll be giving a report, it means that we also have to the PCC, which is attended by the leadership at all levels, national, provincial, and local, coordinated by the president. If we then say we need to then say, of course, those reports have to also serve here in the portfolio committee. So we'll use these activities as a mirror to see as whether there is movement or there is no movement. I think that is what we're looking at. If this is done, and if we continue to do this, and of course, I should not put it as if I'm not sure myself, this will be done. And when this is done, you will realize that what we're doing, Honorable Stein Hazen, is to stop the zigzag that is actually taking place. What we're doing is a situation where what is happening on the left hand is not known by what is being done on the right hand side. We are one government. The only portfolio that is the responsibility to ensure intergovernmental relations, look at chapter 3, is this portfolio of cooperative governance. We should not only promote intergovernmental relations when it comes to talking about systems, talking about policies, we must also talk about it when it comes to action and action to deal with this issue. That's exactly what we're saying. Well, Honorable Ngozi Mandela is fine. We share the concerns. The situation in Buffalo City will have to be dealt with as a situation in Buffalo City. And I will appreciate a situation where, having noted this, I come back to this portfolio committee and then say, Buffalo City, you went there, you experienced the situation. what is happening at the moment. I would like to commit that so that we don't take the Buffalo City situation and generalize it. I think we need to be very specific when we talk about the situation in Buffalo City. And I'm that person who does not want to just raise issues without being factual about it. So I'm noting this issue about Buffalo City. So that let's look at this and then see as to, through the focus, through the eyes of the anti-corruption inspectorate, what is it that we are actually doing? Looking at the Buffalo City and other areas. Of course, it is true that a lot is going wrong, Honorable Nkosi Mane. It is true that the saying is that a lot is going wrong. But I want to invite the honorable members, I want to invite you that we don't just have to climb on the bandwagon and conclude that a lot is going wrong. We need to get there. We have that responsibility ourselves. We need to get there and say, this lot that is going wrong, what informs this? We have taken a decision that we are going from one province to another. I've indicated at some forum. It's one of the things that we're then saying we're going to. But preceding where a minister goes and deals with things, because sometimes it may appear like just a PR exercise, is to then say, get this unit, get into this area. What is going wrong? I would suggest that at a level of leadership ourselves, whereas we acknowledge that there is a lot that is being said, we should get to a point where we then say, materially, in specific terms, what is the difference between what is said to be a lot going wrong to what is said to be a government doing its work? Because we might want to create an impression that there's nothing that government is doing. And I want to suggest that let's be specific when we raise these issues so that we deal with these things. What does it mean, winning the fight against corruption? Very clear. It means that there must be prosecution, there must be sentencing, there must be consequence for people embarking on corruption. There must be consequence. People must be answerable, and they must be made to be answerable. And in a situation where you have this unit operating, not talking to each other, you miss an opportunity. You miss an opportunity to direct the fight up to a point where we then have to, because it will be like, as long as my side is clear, it's okay. Even if you clear your side by pushing the debt to the other side, it's fine, it's okay. And through this, we want to make sure that there's no space for that. When cooperative governance put its foot on the ground, we need to do that. There's nothing confusing, or there's nothing that ought to be confusing, Honorable Smith, unless if it is by choice. But honestly speaking, there's nothing that ought to be confusing. What we are seeing is that these instruments that we are talking about, they exist. All these instruments that I'm mentioning, they exist. But it's a question of looking at your own path and not looking at the broader picture. We have a responsibility to instill a sense of these entities looking at the picture. And it's not a question of support. No coordination, the waste of time. It can't be a waste of time for us to say, when we deal with issues of a, take for instance the SIU, the point that is on the SIU, we are not saying that we want to take away the responsibility of proclamation. But what we are saying is that you need to deal with the reality in terms of what is happening. At the moment, and I gave one example, that at the moment you have a situation where a lot of reports that are not completed, interim reports, they get communicated. And when you want to get in, because some of us, we don't want to just like, you know, climb on the bandwagon. When you identify, go, okay, you are raising this SIU report. SIU, where is this report? No, Minister, it's an interim report. But this interim report is already out for public consumption. What does an interim report mean? No, there is still work that is being done to further investigate. Are there any chances that the final outcome may be different to the interim? Yes, there are chances, because it's an interim as such. We are saying you can't be feeding into the area of people being alarmist in dealing with issues. You need to be factual. And talk to me, let me present a report. Let's have the report. And I'm saying, some of these things, you find that even the initiator, even the authority that proclaimed that investigation, before the authority even get the report, get the information, the report is all out, interim report. We need to address these things. We can't afford a situation where we just want to do things as if in this democracy we are not guided by a requirement to be orderly in dealing with the thing. Cooperative governance comes into the picture. Of course, we build friends and we love those friends. Of course, we may create enemies, but who cares? If these are enemies that get created, if they want to block us from doing what we're supposed to do, we then say, fine, keep your friendship, give it to other people. But we are interested ourselves in making sure that we deal with this issue. It can't be wishy-washy, unless if there is a definition of wishy-washy which some of us don't understand. There can't be a wishy-washy thing. What we are saying is that, good people, let us hold us accountable. Let us stop a situation where we talk about corruption. We just want to be talking about this. We are very specific. In this government, there are quite a lot of instruments that have been created, but these instruments are not talking to each other, and we have a responsibility, not just to support, but to make sure that they are implemented and they work. We're not going to develop new strategies. Strategies have been developed. What is happening, what is supposed to happen is to implement, get these strategies, what they say, to be implemented. If we say vetting, like for instance, I refer to the point, In 2008, when we amended the Public Service Act, we did not go far. Of course, it was with the understanding that we will finalize the act that deals with the single public service. We did not go far. That's why it's a question of provincial and national. At the moment, you find that you may easily find people being transferred or appointed. You are at the level of local government. You commit an act of corruption, you cross the floor. You are appointed at a provincial level. It's not so easy to trace if we work in isolation. But if we work in a coordinated fashion like what we are doing now, there will be nothing that is going to skip our notice. We'll pick it up and then see, this is the same government. We need to deal with it like that. That is what we are then saying, on the issues of ethics officers, a very important point, right? Without suggesting that other points are not important. On the question of ethics officers, we are saying here that at COCTA level national, there is going to be, it's not the question of appointing a new person. It's a question of designating. That's why we're using the word designating. It's a question of designating what we have. There are people who are supposed to be dealing with those who are working in the corruption fighting areas under governance and stuff. They're supposed to be dealing with that. Dedicated to be an ethics officer. We go to the provincial and do the same. We encourage municipalities to dedicate these people to do that. What is going to happen is that we are modeling this around what is happening here in Parliament. Find a situation, simple thing, produce a register every year that shows which municipal worker has interest in which business. Simple. But we're also inviting this collective. Because the ethics and integrity framework that we put there as Annexure A, Cabinet is still to approve that. we need to work on that. Do we want a situation where you want a state of continuity for municipal workers to have interest in business and not declare? But as we do that, say for instance, we then say legislation covers us when it comes to municipal workers, they can't have interest in that. But if you can't have interest in at the municipality, but you can have interest at the provincial department level, at the national, there is no question. You know, we're not like sort of talking about. So that is what we mean, because you may then say legislation at municipal level allows us to say no, you can't have business, you can't have interest in business, and just merely declare. But the Public Service Act allows the public servants to deal with those things. We are raising the issues here, even when it comes to councillors, to them say, of course the ethics go further even to politicians, to them say, is it really enough to declare that you have interest? Is it really enough? Why don't we outrightly say you can't? Somebody must bite the bullet. And then say, this is what we suggest, something must happen. And there's nothing wrong in suggesting that you would take extreme positions. So that is the situation. Your point, Chair, in as far as the accountability, you're very right. The fear to say, hey, you know what, these people will be accountable to the municipal manager. And if you are an ethics officer, to what extent can you go in terms of dealing with that? If we get a commitment at SALGA level, if we make it to be a position to follow, that these registers are going to be compiled, there is no way that one can bypass that. But of course, the challenges may be there, which will have to be addressed from time to time. It's like the MPEX, the Public Account Committees. Remember there is an area where then they have been established in terms of a section of error, I forgot about it. We need to amend that section. Because at the moment is that they can be removed at any time. We need to look at that in order to give them the powers. Because if they can be removed, if council can sit and remove them, then that is a weakness that has been identified. We are targeting that section to see as to how best we deal with that. So even when it comes to these issues of the ethics officers, we will definitely see as to how best we deal with that. The timelines and also what is happening, because there are cases that have been referred to us and stuff like that. In the absence of this strategic engagement relationship with the existing agencies, that's why we presented reports that really even ourselves were not convinced. The 500 and something, remember, Rakade, you remember that when we presented, you could not vouch. You could not vouch and say, this we then know. What we are saying is that committing ourselves, we will have to give a quarterly progress report to yourself on how many cases in terms of this approach have we actually dealt with, and how many cases are we dealing with. We'll even come and say, how many cases in terms of the SIU have we dealt with and stuff like that, and the SIU report, we take the process going forward. So that is the situation. We appreciate the concerns by honorable members, but I want to suggest that let's allow us to continue. Let's allow the executive to do that. Without sounding like so doubtful as if we are doing anything wrong, hold us accountable. Hold us accountable. Call us here and then say, you sold us this and we want you to account. Hold us accountable in terms of what we want to do. But we can't help it to observe things going wrong when this country has done enough to create the instruments. there is an act of parliament, I think, the anti-corruption act, we need to sometimes come and say, in this country, how many people have we ever convicted in dealing with this act, under this act? We need to come to the Protected Disclosures Act and see to what extent are we going in terms of making sure that we protect the whistleblowers. We need to do that. We don't have to create another law. That's why we are saying ours is to support and use this instrument and use this instrument to buy it. We are not coming to start a campaign to say let's come with a legislative reform, because we have reformed enough. What is happening that let's implement this instrument. The instruments are meant to work. We must get them to work. And it is us who can get them to work. And we're committing ourselves that will do that. Public service, in terms of your anti-corruption unit, your four legs in terms of investigating, where is your investigation? They, in terms of that unit, the question of managing discipline, so that you don't have people suspended for longer periods of time. You are suspended with full pay. There's no finalization of those cases. There is no appetite for people to appear before the DC, because after all, you are suspended with full pay. In as far as this intervention that we're introducing, we have to reach a stage where if you suspend a person for a given period of time as an authority, you have to indicate why you can't remove the suspension with pay part, so that you can expedite getting into this thing. We have to have presiding officers to deal with specific cases. When it comes to these issues, we are training these people. These are the people you can use to deal with cases like that. Let's finalize these cases and finalize them like that. You have a situation, I was at a municipality yesterday in Northwest Moretele. During the engagement, they said that there was an official who was on suspension for the whole year. And I asked how many times has this official appeared before a disciplinary committee. Shocking evidence is that not even once. Now, how do you justify that this is suspension? It is this, and as I was doing that as part of getting to them, say we will have to do things differently. Otherwise, there has to be consequences. If you were supposed to have taken a decision and conclude the disciplinary case within a given period of time and you have not, there has to be a consequence on your part. That's exactly what we then see. So the invitation is very clear. This is what we want to do. We are assuring the committee that there will be dust in the air and get us accountable for that. We are ready for that. Otherwise, you can't say you are the anti-corruption inspectorate. When we talk to you, it's just not clear about what you do. I want to be very clear. Thanks, Honorable Chair. At more frequent levels, we'll have to report on what we are doing about these cases.
Thanks, Minister. Let me just alert members, it's 10:30. Ooh. Sitting starts at 11 o'clock. We need to finish within the next 5 minutes. How many members still want to ask questions? Two.
Comment.
John, comment or question?
Comment and a request.
Okay. Can we do this? I'm going to allow just for a very short comment. But can we say our program is approved? I'm going to make a suggestion, Chairperson, to say that within the third quarter it be scheduled for the first report on this unit. And we ask, because it's at June now, say towards September, towards the end of the third quarter, we get a full report on how far this unit has gone, in terms of the work that they need to be doing. So if there's nothing that is, if it must be asked, I'm just going to give 2 more minutes so that we can wrap up and be in time for the sitting. Peter?
Thanks very much, Jay. Now, very quick. Minister, to you, Jay. Minister thinks I'm confused. I'm not confused. I hold that the document is confusing. The reason it's confusing is because it makes different statements which are not in harmony with each other. And I made the proposal that since it's work in progress, you have ample opportunity to clarify that. It's meant in a good sense. And what I'm saying simply, in shorthand, is on the one hand, the document gives the impression that the inspector's key role is merely to support other initiatives. On the other hand, it gives the impression that its key role is to coordinate the activities of the others. I'm saying that is confusing. There's one or the other, not both. So I would just propose that you script this document in the next version in a way that gives clarity precisely to whether your function is primarily coordinating others or supporting others. You can't do both. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. You know, I certainly didn't expect my strange coordinating beast to be perceived by the Minister as an attack on Section 3 of the Constitution. Anything but. The point I was trying to make there quite clearly was that this, and it's a similar point to what Peter's making, is that it's got this strange amorphous role of it coordinating and supporting, and just reinforce what Peter said. I disagree. I don't think we're sharpening this body. I think we are blunting it. If we're sharpening it, we'd be resourcing it with forensic investigators, prosecutors, and attorneys, and people are able to bring successful cases from investigation to successful prosecution and jailing. Not having an idea about, you know, sitting here at a committee, I served 10 years as a local government councillor. I served 2.5 years in the provincial legislature. I served on SCOPAs and finance committees. I'm yet to come across a single municipal official or provincial official who's been jailed in terms of the MFMA or the PFMA. One. Not even one. Despite the fact we had Hawks involved and KZN, the SIU involved, we've had all these agencies that are referred to the document involved, I'm yet to come across a single one. And there I would like to conclude with my request for information. Perhaps the Minister could provide the committee with a list of every single municipal or provincial official who's actually been successfully prosecuted, jailed, and or been forced to pay the money back that they've misappropriated. Because all I've come across is people being moved along into other departments or amounts being written off. And I think that's where the problem lies.
Okay, I think the question has been come across very loud and clearly to the Minister. I don't think we should go into further discussion. Let's then say that the next round will be in the third quarter, towards the end of the quarter, where we'll have a full report on this unit within the department. Let me then say thank you to the Minister for the briefing this morning. Yes, we do remember we've come from the strategic planning session, and I think we have moved since then. It's now for the implementation and to see the results of where we've moved to. So to members, thank you for giving me this and making my task this morning is to chair the meeting so easy. Let's adjourn the meeting and then move off to the opening. Thank you very much.
Before Chair, is this an invitation? What is this saying?
We have just received this. I think we will ask for the chairperson. Chairperson is saying we need to attend. I think we'll, let me give over to chairperson.
So because you haven't got an opportunity to go through it, it's an invitation from the Public and Administration Portfolio Committee, which invites the joint cluster portfolio committees, which are listed here in this, which is our committee, PC on Women, Children, Standing Committee on Auditor General, Standing Committee on Public Accounts, Committee on Privacy,